Have you ever suffered from a case of mistaken identity? In my younger days, I used to look a little bit like Ben Elton, and was often accused of that. And even once in Stratford, a car drove past and a load of young lads sort of leaned out the window, "Right, Ben!" And I used to deny this until I went and visited a friend of mine. And I was going to a conference, he'd gone off to work, and I was sat in the kitchen, and there was a pinboard in the kitchen with sort of, you know, tickets, notices, photographs. And I thought, when was that photograph of Craig and myself taken? And I looked closely, and it was when he'd met Ben Elton. So there was a bit of truth in that. And one day, when we lived in Oxford, I was walking into town, and I saw the comedian, Joe Brand, walking up the road towards me. And she must have been performing in the city, I guess. And as she walked towards me, she had a huge smile on her face. That kind of, you know, "It's good to see you, Ben, me old mate," kind of smile. Until we were almost face to face. Sorry, I can take this off now. And I keep forgetting to take my mask off, which is probably a good thing, but there we go. Suddenly, as we kind of approached each other, we were almost face to face, she suddenly realised her mistake, and her smile sort of froze, and she lowered her head, and she quickly walked on sort of by, you know, sort of in that kind of, you know when you sort of do that, you kind of wave at someone and you realise it's not them, and you sort of do that to sort of pretend it's you weren't doing that. Well, today on the fourth Sunday of Advent, we traditionally focus on Mary. I'm having one of those days. Ugh. So I had to dash and get a new mask during the last hymn because I had a total systems failure on my original mask. But there we go. It snapped. We think about Mary. And over the centuries, Mary has suffered from various cases of mistaken identity. Some Christians reverence Mary really above all other people. They pray to her. They place her as an intermediary between Christ and themselves. Now, there's no biblical evidence, no instruction that we should do that. In contrast, some other Christians reduce Mary to nothing more than really a walk-on part in the whole drama, a normal girl who happened to give birth to Jesus and then who should be, you know, pretty much written out of the story. It's almost kind of a reaction to that first attitude towards Mary. But the Bible would also disagree with such a low understanding of Mary's role. And then again, there's a third group of Christians who would argue that Mary did indeed exist. She was the mother of Christ, but they deny the virgin birth, preferring instead to suggest that the child was really Joseph's, or even the product of a young Jewish girl being raped by a Roman soldier. But this just seems to be disagreeing with the Bible for the sake of it, and there's no evidence for any theory to put that up against the virgin birth. So who was Mary? And what specifically do we learn about her from our reading this morning? Three things we're going to quickly look at. We're going to see that Mary was an embarrassment to people, that Mary was blessed by God, and that Mary believed in God's word. So first of all, Mary was an embarrassment to people. For Mary, getting pregnant outside of marriage would have been much, much more than just simple irresponsibility. It would have been more than being something that was slightly shameful. Because she was engaged to him, Mary was, in effect, in that culture, already married to Joseph. So if she became pregnant by another man, then actually it wouldn't have been impossible for her to have suffered death for adultery in that culture. We know that Joseph struggled to come to terms with what had happened to Mary. The virgin was with child. And so it's probably a huge relief for all concerned when she took herself off for 3 months to see her cousin Elizabeth. The family could breathe easy for a few weeks, hope that the scandal would die down a little. Mary may have known in her heart that she was serving God, but in the eyes of the world, she was an embarrassment. However, by visiting her cousin, Mary discovered that secondly, she was blessed by God. It's funny how the world can look at someone one way and God can look at them another. You know, read through the Bible and you find that that's often the case. Jeremiah, Job, Noah, Stephen, Paul, and especially Jesus. They all experienced that different way of being viewed. And so it is with Mary, because when Elizabeth answers the door to Mary and hears her greeting, two things happen to Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife. First, as her baby leaps inside her, Elizabeth is filled with God's Holy Spirit. In other words, it's God who enables Elizabeth to recognize how wrong the world has been about Mary. And secondly, Elizabeth tells us why her own baby is rejoicing. It's because Mary is carrying the Messiah. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear, says Elizabeth. Mary is blessed because she, ahead of the rest of us, has a special relationship with Christ, although we'll all be able to catch up in due time. And she's blessed because the child that she will bear is blessed. In other words, Jesus is blessed, so Mary's blessed. And thirdly, Mary's blessed because she believes God's word. Elizabeth declares to Mary, "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Elizabeth, speaking out of her own experience here, because her husband was a little bit slow to believe Gabriel when he announced that Elizabeth was going to bear a son in her old age. That's why when Mary came to stay, Zechariah wasn't really saying very much. He was mute. Mary, on the other hand, when she was visited by Gabriel, had been greatly troubled, but she had declared simply, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." In other words, Mary had a simple but a profound faith in God. Zechariah, lots of questions, very knowledgeable, knew lots of things about God, questioned lots of things. God wasn't sort of overly impressed with the doubt that Zechariah actually had. Mary had a simple but a profound faith. And she trusted God wholeheartedly that his will was good and that nothing was impossible for him, even though it seemed so strange at the time. What amazing faith for a young girl who was probably in her early teens or even younger. A faith that would shame many an adult today. So where does that leave us this morning? Is Mary a Christian figure who should be reverenced? Well, not especially. After the boy Jesus had been to the temple aged 12, Mary is only referred to fleetingly in the Bible as the other Mary, or Mary the mother of James or Joseph, and only once as his mother. Nowhere in the Bible do we find instructions that we're to create Mary in some sort of image of a demigod. Even Jesus himself drags us back on track in Luke chapter 11. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Jesus replied, "But even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice." What is our priority? To worship Mary? No. It's to hear the word of God and to put it into practice. Jesus' desire for us is not to worship Mary, but to be like her, so that we will all be blessed equally with the young woman who declared, "I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said." And are we to pray to Mary? Nope, there's no instructions from God in his written down word, the Bible, to pray to her. In fact, in the early church, Mary is recorded as being one of the faithful prayers, not an intermediary. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Notice that was "and Mary," not "to Mary." So what are we to do with Mary? Should we then say that she's just like the rest of us? Well, yes and no. Mary is a special case, a special servant of God. Those liberal Christians who argue against the virgin birth are arguing from a position of supposition and straw clutching against reliable historical evidence. God is capable of the miraculous. Just look around at the universe he created. So there is something remarkable about Mary, something in her wholehearted commitment to God, despite the extreme risk to herself, which should inspire us and motivate us to be prepared to give ourselves wholeheartedly to God, even if that means we'll become an embarrassment in the eyes of the world, our families or our friends. There's something about Mary which means that she cannot be sidelined and glossed over in the events of Jesus' life, death and resurrection. So Mary experienced the pain of being an embarrassment, and yet she knew the joy of being blessed. But both were because she believed the word of God and put it into practice. Let us treat Mary with the respect due to any faithful servant of God. But let's allow her to be an inspiration to us as we hear God's word and then endeavour to put it into practice in our lives, so that we too may be equally blessed. Amen. We're going to stand to say together the Creed.